God. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Just a few quick things before I minister. This morning, first of all, I want to say thank you for all you wish me a happy 50th birthday. It was a wonderful birthday. I turned 50. All right. Amen. So, but today, before I minister, I want to talk to you about a situation. Some of you might have read it on my Facebook. One of our fellow racers, Grady Chandler, he's 18. Him and his parents, they attend Rainbow Bible Church, Oklahoma City, Bob and Amy Chandler. He was involved in a terrible accident at the racetrack on Friday night. Grady's been racing since he was 5 years old. He bought his first race car from us, from Cameron. Wonderful family, wonderful kids, just great people. It's one of these freak accidents. It's, you know, someone said you had a better chance of winning the lotto than you did having this kind of accident. It's just something that doesn't normally happen. But anyway, he ended up fracturing the C1 through the C5 vertebrae. Did extensive, a little more damage to the C5 vertebrae. Some of the pit crew members said when they first got there, they had him squeeze his hand, and he was able to do that. But right now, he has no feeling in his hands or his feet. But the great thing about it, before he went to surgery the other day, he said he was having some pain in his wrist, which is a good thing to have pain, to feel pain. But they did surgery on Saturday morning. The doctor says it couldn't be any more textbook perfect. Everything went perfect. Said the spinal cord was not severed. It was impinged, means it was pinched, but it's not severed. So they're able to get that back in place. And so, you ask him, about, this feeling. He said, it could be just a swelling, but we don't know. Man says they don't know. It's just a wait and see thing. So right now they have him on like an induced coma, intubated. They don't want him moving around a whole lot for a couple of days. Bob and Amy and Grady, they're from Oklahoma City. But they're going to probably be in St. Francis for a couple of weeks and then maybe even longer as they might go to a rehab place. I just looked at them and said, sometimes we don't get a positive report. But praise God, we serve a big God. And I said, the Bible says, Mark 9:23, that all things are possible to them that believe. So I stood there with their family, friends, other fellow racers, and I said, here's what we believe. We believe that 100% that everything his neck will be healed. We believe for complete movement in his hands and his legs, and he'll live a normal life. That's what we believe. So I want you to reach out. I'm going to pray for this cloth. And we'll talk about that in a second. Father God, we just thank you right now. Thank you for Grady. Thank you for Bob and Amy. Thank you for this family, Father. But Father, right now, we come to you and we thank you for a complete healing in this body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We command this neck, everything to come in line. We thank you that this spinal cord shall work perfectly. We thank you, Father, right now for complete range of movement in his arms and his legs. And Father God, we expect a miracle. We thank you, Father, for the days that miracles are upon us, Father. And we thank you, Father, for great testimonies that we shall hear and we shall see. And we thank you today as we go to minister your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. But we thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. And we thank you, Father, that we're not coming in our own strength. We're not coming in our own power. But Father God, we come in your strength and your power, your might and your ability, that you be lifted up. And the Holy Spirit on the inside is leading us and guiding us and giving us utterance. And we thank you, Father, right now for your anointing of God. We thank you for your healing anointing. We thank you, Father, for testimonies. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now in this family's life, that you're showing forth your love. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding overtaking this family right now. We thank you, Father. We just give you the praise and we give you the honor and we count it done now in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. And I tell you what, I mean, every moment, every time I woke up in the middle of the night, I just keep confessing that Grady will have full range of motion in his arms and his legs. And I'm going to keep confessing. And I encourage you guys, too, to hook up with this family. And, I mean, I want everyone to keep confessing it until the day that Grady walks here on this stage. And he thanks you. Amen. Like I said, people want, why do things happen like that? I don't know, but I do know that I serve a big God. And so my message, so I don't know if it's really a message or what it is, but I just want to speak to you this morning on expecting a miracle. Expecting a miracle. And I kind of want to tie on some things that I said at camp meeting this week. We started off Monday night, and we started off in our keynote scriptures here for this ministry, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. So let's just go ahead and turn there. I actually was reading from the New Living Translation, so I'm going to read that again. Some of you maybe weren't here at camp meeting Monday night, but it says, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. And that's the most important part. Our faith is in God. It's not in man. Our faith is not in ourselves, but our faith is in God. It's in God that we trust. And it goes on to say, I tell you the truth. See, Jesus Christ always tells us the truth. All right? I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But it says, you must really believe. And it's time for us start to believe. I believe the days of miracles are upon us. I'm sick and tired of us talking about it. It's time to experience it. But you know what? We only experience something that we expect to experience. Now, many of you were probably here Friday night, at Mark Hankins' service. I was actually at the racetrack. That's where I was. But you guys had a wonderful time. And you know why you had a wonderful time? Because you expect to have a wonderful time. You expected to have a Holy Ghost move. You expected, and whatever you came expecting is what you received. And I'm here to tell you, if you come expecting, if you'll just show up and expect something from God, God will move on your behalf. He will move on your behalf, but it's what you expect. What do you expect? We live in a day and an age, I don't know if people expect it much at all of anything. We just show up. We just hope and pray that we'll just have a great day, and whatever God wants is going to take place. And I mean, most of the time we show up at church half awake. I hope the pastor has something good to keep us awake today. But you know what? If you show up just expecting nothing, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get what you expect. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, but we're not seeing, this and we're not seeing that. But you're seeing what you expect. You're getting what you expect. My grandfather says that if we do not teach the people, that this generation will miss out. And here's the thing. This generation, the generation, my kids and other young people, I talk to them. They want to experience it. They're tired of hearing about, back in the good old days, this happened and that happened, or in Bible days, this happened and that happened. They want to see it. Now, the only way to experience something is to expect it, is to come ready. So what I decided last night as I was praying, I expect to see a miracle every day. I want God to place me into a situation where I can see a miracle every day, whether it's a financial miracle, a physical miracle, a miracle in someone's emotion, a miracle in somebody's marriage, in someone's relationship with their kids. I don't care what it is. I want God to place me in that situation because I can see a miracle, not for me. It's not about me. See, here's the thing. It's not even about you. It's about what Jesus wants to do. And I look at this place and, at one time I saw this place full, and it's not full today. And it's not because we don't preach the word. You know, and it's not because, well, people say, well, yeah, but people now, they watch church online and they don't want to do the video church is hot and you know, you're not cool anymore. I mean, look at you and all this stuff. No. Here's the thing. When something's happening, people show up. You know, especially, I know some young, I know young people and even older people that travel halfway across the country to a concert or a music festival because they want to experience. You know, they say, well, yeah, but you can get a DVD or you can listen to the soundtrack. It's not the same. And I tell you what, if people start experiencing things, I mean, we won't be able to keep everybody in this place. You know, our school will be filled. People say, well, people only go to school online now and blah, 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 blah. I tell you what, if they come to experience a miracle, they'll show up. They'll show up. But you know what? The bad part about it is, you know, I know, I mean, I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just being honest. You know, I mean, I know lots of you have been in church a long time. Some of you, you know, are graduates of our Bible college. But we still don't expect anything. We know a whole lot. We've read a whole lot. Maybe you've experienced a whole lot. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. But we know what the words say. What does the Bible say? Brother Hagin always says, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that all things are possible to them that believe. Now, it's only possible if you believe, but you should expect it. Whenever you say it, you know what? It's going to happen. Why is it going to happen? Because I said so. Well, who are you? My faith is in God. It's not about who I am. It's who's on the inside of me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm redeemed. See, we talk about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, but whenever you renew your mind, when you look at a situation, you're not looking at it like a natural person looks at it. Well, you know, there's 50-50 chance. No, whenever you look at it like God looks at it, you know what? It will happen. It will come to pass. Why will it come to pass? Because my God's a good God. Because my God loves me. Because he wants to show forth that how much he loves us. You know, I actually was thinking about this. Do you know what started Jesus Christ's ministry? You know what the first thing he did in his whole ministry? First thing he did. Anybody know? He changed the water into wine. So the first thing he did in his ministry was perform the miracle. Now, do you realize that up to that point in his life, he never performed a miracle? Not one time. Yeah, but he's Jesus. Not one time. But the way he kicked his ministry off was he performed a miracle. You know, and you're like, well, but he's Jesus, yeah. But then he kept kicking off more and more miracles. And all through his life, we see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But you know what the Bible says? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's the thing. Jesus didn't change. We also read in the Old Testament, it says, I am the Lord thy God and I changeth not. God didn't change. So why aren't we seeing miracles? Why aren't we seeing healings? Because we don't expect them. We think maybe there's a different Jesus now than there was. You know, he's probably a more contemporary casual Jesus. You know, because that's what we think. But no, his power is the same. I don't care what clothes he has on. I don't care how he dresses. Because you know what? Jesus Christ never showed up in a three-piece suit wearing a Rolex watch and his alligator shoes. Now, many preachers will try to convince you he did because they do. Jesus Christ never wore a three-piece suit in his life, never wore a tie in his life. Most of the time, probably had on sandals. Sometimes, maybe had bare feet. Most of the time, his feet were dirty. Why? Because the roads weren't paved. Pretty simple. You know, he performed miracles with dirty feet. One day, someone told me, well, you know, when you dress casual, the anointing can't flow. know? And now, at that point in time, I was, you know, associate pastor here in big church, you know, but I remember my days. I used to be a youth minister. And you know, in Oklahoma, it's hot in the summer. Obviously, we know, we go outside. Well, at youth camp, we wear shorts, sometimes flip-flops. I preach in shorts and flip-flops, and I watch God move in shorts with flip-flops. And all the kids there had shorts and flip-flops. And God still moved because it's not about what you're wearing on the outside. It's not about anything on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. It's about coming with an expectation that God is still God. That Jesus Christ is the same Jesus that was standing in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children. That's the same Jesus that's here today. And that's the Jesus that walks with me and he talks with me. And he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And wherever I go, that same Jesus goes with me. And that same Jesus shows up in a room when I'm in that room. And the Bible talks about that we're his hands and his feet. It talks about doing the works of Jesus. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself and my sermon, but we'll just turn over here to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I'll read it from the New Living since I'm already here. John chapter 14, verse number 12. It says this, I tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So Jesus Christ just tells us the truth. The Bible says, if you know the truth will set you free. You know, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone, now notice, anyone doesn't say, my disciples. It says anyone. I think that's a real key because some people think, well, yeah, you know, that was good for those 12. Well, then I guess only 11 because, you know, one of them, you know, betrayed Jesus and died. Well, you know what? What about Paul? He wasn't part of the 12. And you aren't part of the 12 either, but you're an anyone. All that matters is you're an anyone. You know, or going back to Mark 11, you're a whosoever. You're an anyone. And anyone can ask anything. Anyway, that's getting ahead of myself. It says, anyone who believes in me. You know, majority of Americans say they believe in Jesus. Now, some of them don't go to church, and some of them you half wonder, but you know, it's like 80-something percent of all Americans say they believe in Jesus, and they're an anyone. So you know what? That would probably include them. Anyone who believes in me will, W-I-L-L, it doesn't say might. It doesn't say hopefully. It doesn't say if you pray about it enough. It doesn't say if you give enough. It says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. Well, Jesus Christ started out changing the water to wine, and he kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and he fed the 5,000, and he went to this person, and they were hurting, and they were healed, and he went to that person, and they were going through the situation, and their situation changed, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only difference now is he's not walking on the earth, he's walking with us. He multiplied himself 7.5 billion times. Well, maybe not 1.2 billion or however many Christians we have. And he wants to multiply himself 7.5 billion times or however many people we have here. Maybe I'm missing it by a few, you know, a few hundred thousand. It doesn't matter. The point is he's on the inside of us. And he says that anyone who believes in me will do the works that I did, that I have done. And it keeps going. And even greater works. Greater. It says, not only should we see what Jesus did, it says that we can see things that are even greater. But we're not going to see even what he did if we don't expect to see anything. It says that we should expect greater works, greater miracles, greater healings, greater situations. And I'm here to tell you, you know, I've seen some awesome things, but I haven't seen some greater things than what Jesus did. But the Bible, remember? Brother Hagin said, the Bible is God's word speaking to you. The Bible is God's word speaking to me. God says that I believe and it settles it. What does the word say? The word says that greater. It says that greater. It says that greater. If you believe in me, it says the things that I did and greater things shall you do. But you're not going to do any greater things. And it's not about you anyway. It's not about, and that's the problem, is anytime that someone starts getting it flowing in the anointing, it always turns about, well, look at brother so-and-so. Look what they've done. It's not about them. It's not about me. And really, you know what? Ultimately, it wasn't even about Jesus. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you see the Father. It's all about him. Doing the works of Jesus is doing the works of God. It's simply about him. And whenever you get your focus off of you and off of your ministry and what you do, because you're a good Christian and you sit in the pew every week, not expecting anything. I'm not picking on you. If you think I'm picking on you, then you should be ashamed. Because some will say, well, you're preaching about me. Well, then start expecting. Start doing something. You know, I'm tired of hearing. It's time to do, not to hear. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Pinch yourself. Are you a flesh? It talks about signs. It talks about wonders. It talks about miracles. Healings. And I'm tired of not seeing it. And you know, we're not going to see it if we have our little mamby-pamby little service here and clap and hallelujah, praise God. Let's all sit down and go home. Where are we going to go eat? And I know, I mean, we don't have, now here's also, you know, my grandfather talked about it being on one ditch or the other side of the ditch, because there's the other side of the ditch, and we're going to keep going on, and we're going to pray until Jesus comes. You know, some people just go on and on and on. But a move of God is not just us running up and down the altar. That might be fun, but it's a whole lot more funner than to watch someone who never walked walk. To watch someone who can't do something do it. And it's not really about you. It's about them. Anyway, I want to keep going on. It says in greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. The reason we can do greater works is because no longer he's walking on the earth. He's now inside of us. The Spirit of the living God's on the inside of us. You know, and we read that scripture. It says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and it will quicken your mortal body. The only time we ever read the scripture is when we're tired. Yeah, that's going to quicken my mortal body. Well, you know, that's actually a reference, is him being raised from the dead. Not quickening your mortal body, a miraculous situation. But you know what? It's going to take boldness. It's going to take faith. It takes faith to walk up to somebody and say, get up and let's go. But Jesus did. He said, greater works, because I go to my Father. Then it goes on and says, you can ask for anything. So there is no limit for what you can ask for, but you got to ask. Now people say, well, if I ask and say, pretty please, sugar on top, maybe it'll happen. No, so you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Not so you can be glorified. Not so somebody can interview you for a television special. Why did miracles happen? To glorify God. Not so you can raise some kind of financial reward. It does take money for the ministry to happen. I get that. But you know what? The ministry's been out. I mean, if you ask your average person in America, well, what a minister is all about? And they'll tell you money. And sometimes it's probably our fault. When I say our, I'm not really including me. I'm just talking about other people who talk too much about it. You know, my grandfather always said, God will take care of us. Now I say, when you have a need, you got to mention what your need is. Nothing wrong with mentioning what your need is. Nothing wrong with people giving people opportunity to give and to help somebody's need. But it's not about the money. It's about the people. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. King of God's people. And all his righteousness. And then these things will be added. Man, if we'll start putting people first, money will come. When people flood this place because something's happening, money will come. People come with their money. People support something that's moving. But sometimes you got to get off the pew and do something because you're an anyone. You're an anyone. And some of you, I hold you even higher responsible because you've not only been in church a long time, you've been to Bible school. You know, and some people say, yeah, but I went to Bible school, but it was just to learn more about the Bible. And, you know, I work at the mall. I don't care. You know what? You work at the mall. There's plenty of people in the mall that need a miracle. There's people that go to the mall and they're hurting. They don't know what to do. And sometimes when they don't know what to do, they go spend money. There's people that come to your register every day. There's people that come in your section every day that they're hurting. They don't know. They might even kill themselves this afternoon. But you can speak life into them. You say, well, how do I know? Because the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. Because we know. You know, my grandfather always said, be a participator, not a spectator. Well, the way you participate is you believe. You know, I don't know how many remember, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's even still there. But I remember as a young kid, we used to go to all the ORU basketball games on the side of that court. Brother Roberts had a saying, and they put it on the side of the basketball court, expect a miracle. But at some point in time, people quit expecting. I expect miracles, signs, wonders. Expect miracles. Anyway, it goes on to say, verse 14, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He didn't say I might do it. He didn't say I'll pray about it and get back with you. He didn't say if you're given enough money. He said, I will do it. We started out, it says, I tell you the truth. He's not lying to us. Well, what do you want? What do you need? We have a song, you know, God's got it. What do you want? What do you need? God's got it. You know, on Monday night, I went over to Acts chapter 14. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 14. Acts the 14th chapter. Verse number 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation once again. This is Paul and Barnabas, so they're there at Lystra. Now, I want to say a few things. You understand that Paul here used to be a guy named Saul, a guy that was commissioned to put to death any people preaching in the name of Jesus. And a few chapters before this, Paul was walking down the street and God got a hold of him, talked to him, changed his life, changed his name. Now, between that chapter and this one, Paul didn't go to Bible school. Paul probably didn't have a Bible. And if he did, like I said, he had probably had to have a wheelbarrow to carry it because, you know, it was all written on scrolls and things like that. All Paul had was the Spirit of the living God speaking to him. But that was exciting enough. And what I want you to understand is that Paul didn't, at this point in time in his life, Paul didn't know as much about the Bible as you did, or you do. In fact, later on, Paul wrote most of the Bible, and you quote that today. Amen. Paul didn't know a whole lot. But what Paul did know was that God is real. God is real. He didn't know a whole lot. He was actually told, you know, well, those Gentile people, they're never going to get it. That didn't stop him. He felt the whole world needed to hear this message. That's what we do today. We go out to the world. We take this message. You know, and I know a lot of people are ready to go to heaven just because, you know, they're tired or whatever. But, you know, I'm too hung up on math. The math says that there's less people that are born again than there are people. So according to the math and what we know, that if Jesus came back today, more people would go to hell than go to heaven. That's not acceptable in my life. Not acceptable. So I don't care how much you like heaven, you need to hang on. So if you like heaven a lot, then go out and get 1 billion people saved. Well, how do I do that? Miracles, signs, wonders. Yeah, but I'm a nobody. I mean, no one knows me. Do you understand? I just read the other day that a 5-year-old, or maybe a 6-year-old, bought an $8 million house. You know how? Because he made money on YouTube, or he or she opened a YouTube channel, went, he's gone viral, you know, and was able to buy an $8 million house. And you say you're a nobody? Any crazy person can get on YouTube. The crazier, probably the better. He said, but no one's going to watch my channel. How do you know? You might be weird. You might go viral. Yeah, but they're not going to do it. Well, see, obviously you don't believe. You just said right now, you don't. Well, no one's going to watch my channel. Because they're watching the 6-year-old's channel over here. I think the 6-year-old was talking about toys. Do you understand that God's more awesome than toys? Toys are pretty cool. I mean, I got to admit. I mean, the toys they have nowadays, I'm like, man, I wish I was about 40 years younger. I mean, I thought the Atari was incredible. I mean, I was stoked when I was able to get my first Atari. If you don't know what Atari is, Google it. I mean, I never dreamed that we'd walk around carrying computers in our hands. People think, well, you know, it's impossible. It's not impossible. All things are possible. But it's time for some of us to get off our rear ends. You know, and there's some of you out there that at one time that you were walking in what God wanted you to do. And I'm not saying you're backslidden. You're not backslidden. You're just not doing what God's told you to do. Because something happened in your life. You know what happened? It was called the devil. He attacked you. You went through some depression. You went through some challenging times. You know, life wasn't good, but praise God that God is. And he can take your mess and turn it into a message to reach a generation. I'm serious today. I'm sorry I'm crying. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm excited. I'm crying because I love people. I'm crying because I want to see something. You know, I don't want to see people just running around church, and that's cool. I mean, I don't have an issue with that, but I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the blind see. I want to see arms pop out that weren't there. You know, that's what I want to see. And I'm getting to my point here. I mean, here they are, Barnabas and Paul were at Lystra, and they came upon a man with crippled feet who had been that way from birth. He had never walked from his mother's womb. He never taken a step in his life. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice and said, "Stand up." And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Paul didn't know a whole lot. But in fact, he tells us, you know, later on, he says, "I didn't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that's what I talked about. That's what I talk about. Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not about me. It's not about anything that I'll ever do. Because anything I ever do is because of Jesus. It's because of what he's done for us. But I'm here to tell you that while Paul was preaching, that this man got enough faith to walk, and he never had walked. But he would have never walked if Paul wouldn't have realized the faith that man had and told him to stand up. And so I believe that more and more it's time for us to tell people to stand up. I don't care if you're shopping at Walmart and you see someone, you know, it's time to go over there and be bold. So, well, it can't happen. See, that's because you don't believe. Because you don't believe. Because you don't expect. Yeah, but that's impossible. Well, the things, my dad's favorite scripture, Luke 18:27, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. There's nothing that's impossible because it says you can ask for anything. And I would do it. It talks about signs and wonders. Say, well, this person doesn't really believe, but you know what? That's a sign and a wonder. God's going to show, you know what? I care, and I'm going to show up in this man's life. I tell you what, man, if you see a few people that one time weren't walking, they start walking. People are going to show up. What's going on in that place? What's going on? They carried the guy in, and he walked out. That's what happened to Jesus. Remember that? You know, they carried a guy in and this guy walked out. And what it say? The things that I did and greater things shall you do. So they can carry people in service and they can walk out. Why will they do that? Because we expect it to happen. But in order for us to expect it to happen, we have to actually really expect it to happen. Turn a few chapters back, or a few verses back to them. Acts chapter 3. I do want to point out, you know, that Paul and Barnabas were not one of the original disciples. People were healed in their meetings. Now, we're going to read about some of them that were some disciples. Acts chapter 3, reading verse 1, New Living Translation. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. So there right there tells you 3 o'clock. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth, once again, the guy never had walked from the day he was born, was being carried in each day as he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the beautiful gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently. You know, it's interesting part about it is because we read a few, you know, that Paul looked at that man intently. Peter and John looked at that man intently. He said, it's time to start looking at people intently. Like paying attention. Like, you know, suddenly say, hey guys, I got something you need. But you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to know you have something in order to have something. Know you're a somebody. So they looked at this man intently. And Peter said, look at us. So he says, you know, that he began to look at them, and the guy, Peter said, look at us. And he looked up expecting money. He says right here, the lame man looked up eagerly expecting some money. Eagerly expecting money. Man, he expected money. But Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I give you what I have. It's time to give people what you have. Well, what do I have? I have the name of Jesus. In the name. The name. The name. The name of Jesus Christ. The Nazarene. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. This man never walked a day in his life. He wanted money. He got something better. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up. He just didn't stand up. He jumped up. He jumped up. Stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him and heard him praising God. Sign and a wonder. When they realized it was a lame beggar they had seen at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's Colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And then, you know what happened next? Peter began to preach. Peter began to preach. You want to find an opportunity to preach? Expect a miracle. Doors will open. People will listen. People will listen. Why will they listen? Because they know you have something. What you have? The name of Jesus Christ. That's what we have. And it's not just about me. It's about you. See, we are always looking to the minister. The minister. It's not about the minister. It's about Jesus Christ. The one that's in all of us. I don't care where you work. I don't care what. In fact, a lot of times, you know, where you work actually gives you more opportunity. You hang around more sinners than I do. Do you realize that everyone I work with knows Jesus? One of the speakers this week was, well, go to work and, tell everyone you work with, about how good Jesus is. I think they all know. If they don't, I'm not sure how they got a job working for the church. And that's why I praise God for the opportunity to go to the racetrack, to be able to talk to people that don't know. And it's not just about talking, because, I don't really do a lot of talking. I do more living than I do talking. We lead by example. You lead by the way you live. People look at you, and everybody at that racetrack knows I got something. And they expect, if I talk to them, they actually expect things to happen. My dad and myself, they trust me. They think I have the hookup with God. Because I do. And so do you. You realize you have the hookup? You realize when you drop a name, it's not just dropping a name. You have the authority to drop the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. But you know why a lot of us aren't standing up and doing anything? Because we're too busy struggling and wallowing in our own mess. And I get it. The devil's out to stop, especially this generation, man. I have seen more hardships among the people of this generation, this younger generation, than ever before. They're dealing with all kinds of stuff that a lot of us never had to deal with. And I see them struggling because the devil's real and he wants to wipe out this generation. Because remember what Brother Hagin says, if we don't teach them, if they don't experience the move, then it's going to be lost. So he's fighting hard. But praise God that I believe that we're raising a generation of young men and women. They're going out and can touch this world. But they're not going to experience it unless we do. We can talk about it, and we can talk about it, and we can talk about it. That's not good enough. At some point in time, you got to do it. I talk about being a doer of God's word. Well, God says to go out and change your world. It says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not they might recover. Not they'll pray about getting recovered. It says they shall recover. But you know what? First of all, you got to be able to believe. You got to be able to believe in the same Jesus. You have to understand that Jesus is the same. God is the same. The same spirit that was here in the Bible, that was obviously with Jesus, it was with Paul, was with Peter and John, is still here. The deal is that Peter and John's not here. Paul's not here. You are. You are. Now, I don't know how many times that Brother Hagin would say, the Acts of the Apostles are still going. We're just living in the book now instead of reading history. Basically, he said it's time to make history. It's only going to do, you only can do that if you decide to start believing. You decide, it doesn't matter how hard it looks. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it doesn't seem normal. It's not really likely. I mean, you know, let's just talk about our Bible school. And thank God we have awesome testimonies from all over the world. How Rhema is changing nations. You know, but the folks that have gone to the nations, some of them struggled to get there. You know, I remember sitting, talking to Pastor Bud. Pastor Bud and Jan went to Brazil, and I think he said he had a couple $100. He had two churches that said that they would support him on a monthly basis. One church did for 3 months. One church did for a little longer with a little bit of money. You know, and he said when one church quit supporting, they were actually the bigger church, the one supported more. You know, I think it was like $500. They said they'd support a month or some kind of bigger number. When they quit supporting, he's like, man, what am I doing here? I don't even know Portuguese yet. What am I doing here? He was a little older than a lot of other missionaries. And also, you know what? He was very untrained. He had an eighth grade education, but he'd been to Rhema. What was his? He was a truck driver before he got here, and a farmer. Didn't know a whole lot. But today in Brazil, we have over 100 Bible schools. I think something close to like 300 churches. Because a few people with a little bit of money, only a little bit of wisdom, some boldness, and the desire to do what they felt God had called them to do, went to a nation. You know, and it is so humbling whenever you go there, the amount of people that they walk up and they thank me for it. I didn't do anything. At the time they went to school, I wasn't even their teacher. I didn't do anything. But they hold up a book, usually it's Authority of the Believer, one of the other books, and said, this book changed my family's life. This book changed our life. I know you didn't write the book, but I want to thank you, because I didn't have an opportunity to thank my grandfather, so they wanted to thank me. And it's, you know, and I'm like, thank God. I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, I love my grandfather just like all of you. All he did was preach the word. And the thing, it was never about him. That's the whole point. It was never about him. He didn't want any recognition. In fact, it's hard for him to be recognized. You know, and that's the thing. Most people want recognition. They want to be somebody. I don't want to be anybody. I just want to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. But I just endeavor to be more bolder. I expect a miracle every day. Every day. Every day. And I want everyone in this auditorium that wants to expect a miracle every day to stand up right now. If you expect God to move in your life like never before, stand up right now. No, this is a big commitment, because it's going to take boldness. It's going to take, you know, just like Paul. I mean, he had to recognize the guy's faith, and he had to tell him to get up. Just like Peter and John, he had to say, man, you know, look at us, because what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. It takes boldness. But if it's time to expect miracles, signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. You know, I want you to say it every morning when you wake up. I expect signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. I expect them to happen around me every day. I expect the abnormal to be normal. Father God, right now, we thank you for these precious people. And we thank you, Father, to give us more boldness. A lot of us, we know the word. But give us more boldness. And Father, we thank you in advance right now for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And as we go out, well, I thank you, Father, that people will see us. Not see us, but they'll see Jesus walking through us. And they'll look at us, just like these people look, and we can look at them intently. And we can say, you know what? God wants to change your life. And we thank you, Father, for giving us boldness. Giving us boldness to step up, to get up, to walk out. Help them to understand that it's not about the minister doing anything, but it's about the message going out around the world through the people who are in the pews. And Father God, I thank you, Father, for opportunities every day to minister to people that we might not even know, to be a light to a dark world. I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I can't see miracles, signs, wonders. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can this morning. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, I walked with God, but I kind of turned my back. I went away and I want to rededicate my life to God again. If that's you, if you've never been saved, or you want to be saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, or the thirdly, if you've never been filled with the Spirit, some of you maybe you've been scared about being filled with the Spirit, this tongue stuff. I tell you what, if you want to do miracles, you need to be filled with the Spirit. So if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Spirit, lift your hand right now across this auditorium. There's a hand right there. In fact, just don't even lift your hand. Just come down here. Just come down here. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, or you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate yourself to God, come down here. Just come on down. Let's sing something. Hallelujah.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. Yes, I do.
Come on down.
I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
God of miracles. You're the God of miracles.
Thank you, Father. Anybody else that needs to be down here? Just come on down. God is moving. Maybe this morning while we were talking, you just felt, man, I just need to rededicate my life again. Come down here. Or you said, you ever feel the Holy Spirit? Come down here. Or maybe you're here, just there, and you just felt, I just need to come down. So come down here. It's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, up you guys, look at me for a few moments. I said, I want to give you these books. How would you get these books? I say, I want to give them to you. How do you get them? Just reach out and get them. All right. We're going to give you all the books. You don't have to pass out yours. All of you get the same ones. How you doing? Amen. What you came down here for, if it was being saved the first time, rededication, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, they're all gifts. They belong to you. You know, when it's thinking about gifts, think about a couple of things. Think about your birthday and think about Christmas. That's what I think about. Christmas is an awesome time. You like Christmas? Celebrate the birth of Jesus, so that's a great thing. You know, but, you know, we have these things. We have Christmas trees, and we have, you know, they wrap all these gifts up. And my favorite thing, especially as a little kid, you know, was seeing underneath the tree, you know, for a couple of days, a month, or whatever, the two Craig stuff. It would say, two Craig from Mom and Dad. Anyone else remember that, having your name on a gift? You know, the thing about it is, sometimes you didn't know what was in the box. Sometimes you did because you know what the box looked like. But Christmas Day would come and you'd open that gift and it would become a reality in your life. You know, before that was just a box. You know, and what you came for a while might just be in a box. It said to your name, and then today you get to open your box. And then some of it, you know, it's like Christmas time. Sometimes we open our box, and I remember as a kid, you know, we play with the toy. And then all of a sudden, we put it away, and never played with a long time. So today, some of you are going to re-see your toys again. You're going to rekindle that flame that you once had. You're going to reopen your box. So what I want you to lift one hand toward heaven. I don't care if it's your right or left one. And what you're doing is saying, Lord, today I'm opening my box. My life is going to be, it's going to never be the same. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you for these precious people. And Father God, we thank you right now that today's their day. Today's their day. Forgive them from their sins. We thank you, Father, from this day forward, they'll move in a new direction. We thank you, Father, for touching them, for healing them, for setting them free. Thank you for filling them with the Spirit of God. We thank you that they'll never, ever be the same again after today. And we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn this way. I want you to follow this man. We're going to give you all some materials so you know, and make sure you got what you came for, all right? So just follow Brother Greg right here. Just follow him for a few moments. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you, Father. 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 That's what it's all about. More people opening their box. The box has been sitting there. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, open your box. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you right now for these precious people. And we thank you, Father, for filling them with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for setting them free, for saving them, for healing them. And thank you, Father, for just giving them whatever they came for. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. You know, every day when I wake up, I'm going to expect a miracle. Things only happen when we expect them to happen. We have to keep it in front of us at all times. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, so that means we have to keep hearing. We have to keep reading the word. You know, and some people say, well, I haven't seen it. Quit saying I haven't seen it and start doing it. I haven't seen it. You realize when Jesus performed his first miracle, he hadn't seen it either. He even said, told his mom, well, my time has not yet come. What does mom say? Do what he says. You know, sometimes, you know, I think about this, and I'm not trying to put interpretation. I'm trying to put Greg's own interpretation. I wonder, man, did it take his mom to push him into the ministry? Because if it really wasn't his time, don't you think he would have said, you know, my time's not yet, I can't do anything. Maybe he had been having an inkling on the inside. And it took that little push. Hopefully this morning, I gave you a little push. Hopefully maybe I knocked some of you guys in the pool. Because folks, it's not really about me. It's even not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And him crucified. It's about doing the works of Jesus. It's about quit saying that I haven't seen, I haven't seen, I haven't seen, and start seeing. You know, it's really easy to see whenever he's working a miracle in your life or through you. You know, like I said, when you love people, you don't want to see them hurting. Man, I hurt to see people hurt. I hate to see people hurt. Whether it's a physical hurt, an emotional hurt, you know, I mean, I hate it when people start crying because they're hurting so bad. It makes me cry. You know, I'm like, you know, I just wish they would get it. You know, sometimes talking's not good enough. We all have the name of Jesus. We have the authority to use it. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. Hopefully you got something to this morning. The connection team is in the aisle. They'll want to take you. We have a little gift for you. We want to make sure you got the gift. And we invite you, if you're looking for a church home, to make this your church home. If you're visiting the area, anytime you're in this area, come by and see us. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, you know the way we dismiss around here, the pastors will head to the door, the doors. I know I go west, so that's the door over there. Amen. So, I want Anthony and the team to sing this song again about miracles. As you leave, I want you to be singing about miracles. As you go to sleep tonight, I want you to think about miracles. As you get up in the morning, I want you to think about miracles. I also want you to keep Grady. I want you to keep confessing with all of us. Complete healing. Full range of motion in his arms and his feet. And he'll walk on this stage and he'll give his testimony. Just believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother Anthony.
I believe in you. Come on, sing it. I believe.